Well, we're back. We're going to go straight to Paula Fisher, who is the marketing manager of the Plymouth Convention and Visitors Bureau. Thank you for joining Talking Travel.
Thank you for having me. This is quite a privilege.
Well, it's fun to have you. And you know, actually, we should have done this a week or so prior, right through the Thanksgiving Day holidays, because so much history comes from there, doesn't it?
It certainly does, and it is one of the, I guess you could say, problems with this region is that we get so much attention in November due to Thanksgiving and the fact that the first Thanksgiving happened here, that everything else kind of gets lost after that.
Yeah, and that's all very unfortunate because there's so much more. Let's just take it from there. Why don't you tell us about Plymouth?
Sure, I will. Well, we represent Plymouth County, which is one of the largest counties in Massachusetts. But certainly Plymouth is the gemstone, I think you could say, of the county. This is where 95% of the people who come to this region come to Plymouth. And I think we call it America's hometown. Its most famous and oldest icon, it would be Plymouth Rock, of course, which has been here for a few hundred thousand years. But with the Cape Cod Bay right outside of our windows here, and all of the water attractions, whether it's whale watching or whether it's cruising, having a dinner cruise, or going out and lobstering with one of the lobstermen here, this then cruises over to Provincetown, which is only 20 miles across by water, and then we have a number of gorgeous actual historic homes, going from the simple one-room home to the more ornate sea captain's homes of some of the towns along the South Shore, which is Boston's South Shore. So there's a lot of beautiful, ornate homes through the centuries run by ship's captains. So you can really see the gamut from the simple to the wonderful. And then we also have, we're well known here for cranberry country, which is where one of the largest amounts of cranberries is grown here in the south of Plymouth area and all the way down to Cape Cod. And in the fall, when the cranberries are being harvested, I'm sure many people have seen that Ocean Spray commercial where the men are standing waist deep in water harvesting cranberries. Well, that actually takes place here every year in September and October, and that is a sight that if you've never seen it, you owe it to yourself to see it at least once. And then our only city, which is the city of Brockton, Massachusetts, well known for some of the boxers who've come from there, Rocky Marciano and Marvin Hagler, has one of the only craft-only museums in New England, and it's just literally right between, right close to Boston. So our area is huge, and our area covers a lot of different kinds of things to do while you're here.
And you have the Plymouth Plantation Living History Museum, as you mentioned in your notes.
Yes, the Plymouth Plantation got a lot of notoriety this past fall. The History Channel did a full-length movie called Desperate Crossing, and it was about the story on the Mayflower with so much detail that people just never realized. And most of the staff who were at work at the plantation were in the production, as well as the support for costumes and everything was done, and it was really well received in bringing a lot of notoriety to Plymouth Plantation. But it is a living history museum, and not only does it contain a 1627 English village, which of course the Pilgrims would have come over here and started their New England here, it also contains a very authentic Native American home site. We want to make sure that people realize that we understand how the lifestyle of the English coming over here to begin their lives in New England definitely put a damper on the lives of the native people here. So there's a Wampanoag Native American home site as well. And then Plymouth Plantation also owns Mayflower 2. And Mayflower 2 is going to have a banner year next year because 2007 is the 50th anniversary of her arrival here. So we're planning lots of great activities around Mayflower for next year.
I went to your website, and they do have some promos for the History Channel production, and I think they call it the Untold Story of the Mayflower, and it was really quite interesting. It was tempting to get more. Now, how is that? Is this a History Channel show that has aired previously, or is it one that's coming up?
No, it aired. Well, it aired in November. It aired two or three times on the History Channel. I know the DVD is available on the History Channel, and for anyone who's interested in the story, I was so impressed with the movie because so many people. It's this simple story of some passages on a Mayflower. They come over and they meet with the Indians, and then a year later they have Thanksgiving, and that's kind of the what people know. And this put the detail in that makes people really understand that what they did back then, coming over to New England from England to try to build a new colony, would be similar to what we're actually thinking of doing now, where they're actually talking about colonizing the moon. And that's what it would have been like for these people to have done what they did. So I highly advise going on history.com or history.org, I can't remember, and, you know, looking into that DVD, because it is just an incredible story. And, of course, my hope is that it'll get people to want to come and see the Pilgrim Village, because the people there are actually role-playing the parts of the people that actually lived in Plymouth in the year 1627. So you step back into history in an unbelievable way that I have never seen another living history museum do as well as Plymouth Plantation does.
Well, it surely encouraged me to look forward to maybe getting the the CD, because it was an interesting comparison of what we're now faced with today in space exploration. But, you know, I don't wonder how you go out in a little boat here, just out, you know, off the coast. Can you imagine what these people went through on what is virtually a fairly small ship?
Exactly. Mayflower was another smaller ship called the Sparrowhawk.
Right.
That the skeleton of it is in one of our other museums, the oldest museum in the country, which is Pilgrim Hall. And Pilgrim Hall, fortunately, is one of the few museums that's actually opened almost year-round. They're closed in January, but they're actually open February through December, because a lot of what happens here in Plymouth, I'm afraid, does tend to shut down a little bit after Thanksgiving.
Right.
But they have the skeleton of a ship called Sparrowhawk, and this ship is about one quarter the size of the Mayflower. And that ship came over here in 1626 and actually wrecked on the shoals at the elbow of Cape Cod, which is now Chatham. So it truly was incredible that these people were that possessed with the need to worship God in their own way, for them to make that journey. And I'm sure a lot of the wives sat back after their husbands came home and said, I don't think this is such a good idea. But in the 17th century, the women weren't questioning their husbands' decisions.
Right, but of course, on one of the comments on the one of the promos that I watched on the website was that although it was about religion, it wasn't just all about religion. It was people seeking another way of life, because from certain parts of Europe, they weren't really under religious persecution. So it's always a big mix, and the mere fact that they pulled it off is really, really quite amazing. Tell us a little bit more about what one would find in the Pilgrim Hall Museum.
In Pilgrim Hall Museum? Well, they have some of the largest and most familiar images of the pilgrims. The pilgrim history became people became more interested in the pilgrim story for some reason during the Victorian era. Some people say it's because immigrants were coming over to this country, and a lot of the old Yankees were a little nervous about people forgetting the original story of the Pilgrims of Mayflower. So a lot of these very large images that were painted by well-known painters, and many that you see all during November, during the Thanksgiving period, in commercials and in magazines. So those paintings are up there as well. And they do a changing exhibit every year. This year, it's all about death and mourning, and how that whole system has changed through the years. And of course, Plymouth has one of the oldest burying grounds here. I mean, about one quarter of the pilgrims are buried on Burial Hill here in Plymouth. Next year, though, because of the Mayflower's anniversary, Pilgrim Hall is going to be doing something called It Came on the Mayflower. They're going to show the kinds of things people would have had to have brought over with them in order to survive for 1 year, because that's pretty much, you needed to bring 1 year's worth of supplies.
And no refrigeration.
It's right. Things like that. And what kind of furniture you would or wouldn't bring.
Yeah.
And the Pilgrim Hall actually owns articles that did come over in the Mayflower, which is really kind of nice. These articles now are probably close to or over 400 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also going to be doing lectures about some of the different families that came over. And about once a month, it's going to be a lecture on a particular family. So for those of you listening who may be Winslow descendants or Bradford descendants or Alden descendants, you might want to contact Pilgrim Hall. That's pilgrimhall.org on the web, to find out if one of your family might be highlighted in one of these lectures next year.
Interesting point. What about dining? Tell us a little bit about Plymouth itself.
Well, I know I work for the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and I know that I'm always supposed to promote everything here, but I will be honest with you. I don't know of a single restaurant in Plymouth that isn't worth going to, and there are lots and lots of them. The waterfront, of course, is where most people like to dine because you do have the view of Plymouth Harbor, which then
right.
looks out onto Cape Cod Bay, which then looks out onto the Atlantic Ocean.
So we're talking a lot of seafood there,
a lot
sure.
of seafood. And a lot of the restaurants are literally on Town Wharf, which is where the fishing boats come in and out.
Right.
So if you're looking for fresh lobster or fresh sole or bluefish in the fall, or it's there. But we also have a Mexican restaurant. We have Indian food here. We have a large Brazilian population moving in, so there's a couple of really good Brazilian restaurants. So the variety is amazing, and they're great. They're just really good.
Now, Indian food, maybe you could clarify that a little bit.
Well, it's very, you know, anything. I don't eat a lot of Indian food myself because my husband doesn't like it. But and that's another issue, too. The waterfront area is visited so heavily because Plymouth Rock is on the waterfront. Mayflower 2 is on the waterfront. But literally one block up the hill is our main street in our downtown. And it's quaint. It's adorable. Lots of great shops. It supports our residents who live here, of which Plymouth now has about 55,000 residents, and it also supports the tourist industry. And one of these, Namaste, I think is the name of the restaurant, and it's a really nice, very well attended, very well received with Indian food, with curries and lots of rice dishes, and it's got a little bit of everything.
I think I misunderstood you.
Indian
food.
Native American
I'm, yeah,
food,
I'm thinking
so.
Native American
yeah.
food.
No, sorry about that. No, I actually
India.
Meant Indian from India. Although I should mention, though, that the Wampanoag people who live in the region, there are 2,000 to 3,000 Wampanoag natives who live in the general Cape Cod Plymouth area, and they will be celebrating the last weekend in June a cultural festival, a Native American cultural festival that will help people gain a better understanding of the fact that they're gone. They're not gone. They're here. They're
right.
thriving. They're living well,
right.
and they're going to be able to have a lot of different cultural activities and foodstuffs at this cultural festival. And it's also called the Strawberry Thanksgiving.
Now we just have about a minute left. What about accommodations?
Accommodations. We have what people are looking for if they're comfortable with brand names. We have a Hilton Garden Inn. We have a Hampton Inn and Suites, and those are two brand new hotels that opened this year. We have a Radisson, a Best Western, and a Comfort Inn, and we also have some very nice privately owned places. The John Carver Inn is one of our privately owned. They also own two properties on Cape Cod. It has a themed swimming pool that's set up like Mayflower 2 in their swimming area, and the only hotel on the beach in Plymouth itself is the Pilgrim Sands, and you walk out the front doors and you're literally walking into Cape Cod Bay. And we also have some lovely, a Clarion up in the town of Hull, which if you look at a map of Boston and look just below south of Boston, you'll see this little finger sticking up, and that's the town of Hull, and that's right on a beach as well. And some lovely smaller properties all along the coast as you're heading from Boston to Plymouth.
And if people want more information on this, they can go to your website, which is?
Which is, I'll say it and then I'll spell it. It's cplymouth.com, and that's S as in Sam, E-E. PLYMOUTH.com.
And is there also an 800 number? Or?
There is. It's 800.
231.
800.
231-1620.
231-1620. Sorry about that. 800-231-1620. And 1620, of course, being 1620, the year the Pilgrims arrived here in Plymouth.
Paula, great. We look forward to come up and visit with you sometime.
Well, great. Thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
A pleasure. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.